One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Kat Napsok, and this is another edition of Force Center.
And that means I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this edition of Force Center is one of our news and cues episodes. We're going to talk about news, and we're going to talk about cues, which are questions. That's our secret code word. You don't need a little decoder ring or anything. Cues means questions.
Yeah, so you put me on a plane, Joseph, and take me out of rhythm. I do different intros.
I was right there with you, though. It was like that was like a dance. It was great.
A good dance. A dance of words. A dance of broadcasting. We are going to have a lot of fun talking about all the news. And really, quite frankly, one story we're going to dive into. Just kind of rolling up our sleeves and looking at the High Republic. Before we get to all of that, though, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And as always, we'll have a audiobook we want to recommend for you a little bit later in the show. But Joseph, that's not all.
No, it is not all. We are still working with the great people at Insight Editions. They are a publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books, as well as all sorts of other pop culture books, including Game of Thrones, which gets mentioned here on this podcast from time to time. Insight Editions is offering 35% off across their website with a special Force Center code. To get your discount, you can enter the coupon code FC35, or you can visit the website with this link, InsightEditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we are recommending the Insight Editions book, Secrets of the Jedi. It's one of our favorites, and there's going to be a companion book coming out soon called Secrets of the Sith. So check out the Secrets of the Jedi so you can understand the dark secrets of the Sith. Check it all out with the code FC35.
Do it indeed, and get the inside musings of Sheev Palpatine. We always love to talk about life adventures, which always collide with Star Wars adventures. I've been on the road. You've been busy working, Joseph. So did you get a chance to have any adventures?
I did. I had some life adventures, and they lined up nicely with both the philosophy of Star Wars and the absolute fun of Star Wars. I've been working for quite a while now with some good partners on developing a television show. And it's a weird part of being out here and doing this work of sometimes the work is kind of invisible because you're spending a bunch of time working on movies, TV shows, putting together deals, contracts, back and forth. And then you finally kind of get to do something. We got to do the pitch process where it's basically just these days it's a Zoom call, but you have a Zoom in your home and you basically tell people your story in this very specific structured way in the hopes that someone will say, that's great. Here's some money. Let's make a television show. We've been working toward the pitch, working on the pitch itself for a very long time. So Thursday was the first pitch. And as we're recording, Monday was the second pitch. And they both went really well. And the part where Star Wars really comes into it for me on the philosophy side is, this is just a perfect example of that great Jedi philosophy of doing your absolute best, having the utmost control over what you have control over, and then absolutely letting go and accepting what you don't have control over. You know, it is very much a moment of you can't let that fear of the unknown and the fear of the future and the fear of needing to control everything get in your mind, because then it'll stop you from doing a good job. And I really enjoyed the pitch because I honestly think talking about Star Wars as much as we do on this podcast has helped me internalize some of those lessons that, like, before I'd be like, yeah. No, I know Star Wars says that. But now I really want to try to put my money where my mouth is, where my podcast mouth is, and do it. And I really felt great about it that I feel like me and my partners did a really good job on the pitch. We can control that. And then, you know, is this the exact show that some, executive or network really is thinking is a good idea right now? I got no control over that. So then I just get to let it go. So that was my real big life adventure this week, which dovetailed with Star Wars. And then the fun side of it is I've ordered a couple action figures and I left them in boxes for when I needed a fun treat. So after the first pitch, I opened up a box and was like, I honestly can't remember which action figure that, you know, me and my whiskey bought at 1 a.m. A month ago. And it was the vintage Empire Strikes Back collection Boba Fett. So he's got that original package with the hand-drawn flame shooting out of his wrist. And then just a great figure with both his EE3 blaster rifle and the pistol that's, you know, inspired by it, the look in the holiday special. So I got a Boba Fett treat too. So all around good adventures this week.
That's great and powerful lessons indeed. Yeah, pitching. I'm usually kept out of the rooms. I'm not good at it. It's a stage play. You're telling the folks, Joseph, it's like you have to put those together. Almost every word in has to be in its place. And my writing partner has always been like, why don't you sit this one out, Ken? All right, cool. But to put all that work into it, and like you said, you've been months putting work into it, and you don't know. It's not like comedy. It's not like performing in a live setting. The answer won't come for months.
You're right. It really is like telling a joke, and they're like, audience, get back to me in 4 or 5 months. Let me know if that joke worked for you. If it didn't, I understand.
So the Jedi philosophy is not just a passing reference for you as a Star Wars fan. That is... That is absolutely a lesson that needs to be applied there. All that work, all that training, years, your whole life building these kind of pitch moments. And hopefully you have many, many, many. But, you know, it's like this is your big casting of the dice. And you'll find out. Just go center yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's another, you know, big part of it, too, of the kind of the Star Wars lesson of it, of the, you know, the light side isn't just stick in the mud. Don't do dark side stuff. You know, when you can actually have a moment where you let go of all that concern about the unknown and in the future and just do the thing that you're there to do, then it becomes fun again. What do you know? The light side, you know? And when we finished this pitch, it was just like, hey, I got to tell some people my story. Yay. Yeah. Some people listened to me.
It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, so good one for me. I know you had some great adventures this week.
Yeah. Wonderful time up in Seattle and more specifically for a bit. Edmonds, Washington, which is about 30 minutes north as far as the Ronto roams. It was very fun. Went up there with Mark Ellis, our friend Daniel Bridge-Gadd, and another great young comic from Arizona, Tristan Bowling, came up. They met us there. But they're younger. They're like 20 years younger than us, Joseph. So they hit the town. They landed, came to the show. Daniel's from Seattle. They did the show, and then they went to party until their plane left.
Nice.
And I respect that. The one kid, Tristan's like, we're talking, he's like 21, 22. And he just sighed and goes, I just don't know how we're going to do this. And I said, see, that's the old man energy I respect. other than that, Mark and I had a great time and did get to meet some wonderful Force Center fans up there. They said some very nice words about the podcast and you, Joseph, Jennifer, and me, what we kind of helped put out there into the galaxy. Really appreciate that. And, you know, as always, much like you, I have some Star Wars material in my act, but it's always a weird, you don't know how Star Wars material is going to go over. Even in a friendly, quote unquote, friendly crowd that might know me from Star Wars stuff. So it's always a fun adventure. Ellis has some Star Wars stuff too. And we were talking after the show, late night hotel drinks, about the dance that is not just the venue, but what you might think the audience expects or wants out of Star Wars material, but how even the jokes sometimes are layered with here's a reference, but here's me commenting on that reference, making me either a nerd or this or that, or socially unacceptable, and how that now makes me socially it's a real fine line that I know, you know, very well. And happy to report that all Star Wars material worked this weekend.
Oh, that man, I was really, really hoping that it would be a success story of Star Wars material. Yeah, it's so fascinating with Star Wars and comedy because it is just, does the audience, you know, have the cultural knowledge depending on how you're constructing the joke? Is this a joke where you actually have to know who Greedo is?
Yeah.
There's that. And then there's always like, what direction is it coming from? Is it celebrating being a nerd? Is it, you know, wrestling with when we grew up? Talking about Greedo did not make you popular, but you know, that's a different time and times are changing. So it gets so complicated.
Yeah. And it's like, I used to do a bit that had a pretty specific reference, not just to Nine Numb, but Nine Numb's appearance. And it's like, if they didn't know that, and I couldn't explain that in 10 seconds or less, really 5 seconds. Yeah. It wasn't going to work. Right. It wasn't going to work. Now I have a pretty specific reference to Garvin Dave Drace, but the joke is the reference versus the Drace being the joke. So I've learned over the years, hopefully, and happy to report all wings reported in fun comment, funny crowd, I should say, at a historic rock venue, El Corazon, which has gone on, had many different names, but the manager there had been there for a bit. And he was telling me some old rock and roll stories. Pearl Jam's first ever gig is the Mookie Blaylock band was there. Sammy Hagar's side project Chickenfoot, their first show was there. Historic show with Queens of the Stone Age with Dave Grohl on drums at the manager. And I just, my old 90s rock DJ heart, I just love sitting down. I literally just said, please keep telling me the stories. I love this. It was fun to do comedy in a dirty, gritty, sweaty venue. It was sweaty, but that's how rock and roll comedy should be sometimes. It was good. And yeah, you were out in Reggie's in Chicago with us, which was an adventure, but a historic club too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I've done comedy at a couple of different rock clubs, and it is very, very funny. Sometimes it's sort of like, yeah, this is a storied place that does lots of different things, including, you know, back in the day rock. And then there are other times like, you don't appear to be playing music. Why are you here again?
I just remember that was a Star Wars Celebration. I just remember you and I, going at Macuga, but you and I walking up to that top floor bar to use the bathroom, and I thought you and I were going to have to get in a street fight, which you, of all the people I know, I was like, I'm pretty sure I'll never need to be in a street fight with Joseph at my side. We're going to go through life without without those problems. We walked in. It was Pee-wee at a biker bar times 1,000. So it's always an adventure. It's scum
it was. It was intense. That yeah, it was. We've been talking a lot about that look that Wu Hair gives Luke, because he's like, I just sense you are maybe not vibing with this place. Like that whole bar gave us the vibe of like, what do you think you're doing here?
What are you doing? So there's that. And then the final thing, I don't want to talk too much on my whole life adventures, but on the plane flight back, you know, I usually keep to myself, put some headphones in and fly back, listen to music, whatnot. On the plane, I was in aisle seat, and then and so in the aisle over from me there was a dad and two kids. I think one was a kid, one might have been a friend, doesn't matter, but they were, it was definitely dad and one son, and the kids were like 10, 11, 12 range maybe. And great, you know, we were in line together, boarded together, made a smile, whatever. As the flight last 20 minutes or so, they all started to huddle over an iPad, you know, and I'm not a busybody, but I couldn't help, you know, I just was like, what's going on? And the dad was really excited. He's like, oh yeah, 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 yeah. And I hear him say that. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And they all huddle over. So I get an angle on it. They were watching Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, wow. I was so waiting for, I assumed that it was going to be Star Wars, yeah. Given, you know, the nature of our podcast. But I was like, what Star Wars? But that's so great. That's awesome to hear.
And they were huddled over Rey and Kylo fighting on the Death Star and then the Han and Kylo scene, which, you know, you and I love and so many people love. And they just were huddled over watching it. And then the plane started to land. And so they kind of finished up with Luke and Rey on the island. And I got to tell you, it was one of those moments you experience it. I know a lot of our listeners do, where you kind of can't help but get a little emotional. You know, not I wasn't bawling or anything, but I was just kind of looking. And take all the discourse and the podcasts and the hate and this and all the things we all have, know what's out there and all the words we have to mute just to get by. And you just take that moment. And it's Rise of Skywalker. And no one at that aisle, no one on those three people watching it weren't like, well, this just doesn't connect to episode 8. This Terrio did this to screw it. None of that. Just Star Wars love. And it it bolstered my Star Wars love and heart.
Yeah, it is just a great reminder that, you know, as much of us are very all in, do podcasts and let our opinions be known on social media and all that, that there's just a ton of people quietly enjoying Star Wars with their family.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, life adventures, Star Wars adventures, full weeks for both of us. Happy to be with all of you here now. We're going to dive into the news. And while I was out and about and you were busy preparing a pitch, Comic-Con at Home happened, Joseph. And we had the High Republic Comic-Con at Home panel hosted by Christine Ariel, who does the great High Republic show. They had the authors on. And, you know, it's kind of, we got the same crew of authors, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just fun to see them kind of just all roll together on events, even virtually, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're talking about the different phases of storytelling, but also, like, this is kind of their second round this year, right? So it is, it's fun to see them like, hey, the gang is in their sophomore year of being the High Republic writers in public, you know?
That's hilarious. So I did watch the whole panel, picked up some highlights and some news bites were out there kind of summarizing some of the stuff, but I'll even tell you this, Joseph, there's a chance I missed something. So jump on in, because I don't mean this as a complaint. And I want to get your opinion on this too. I just felt it wasn't completely clear what was being announced. There was some things very clear because they had a card on the screen, a title card, and other things. I was like, wait, did they just, is that part of it too? I couldn't figure it all out.
Yeah, I mean, I think my only hesitation with High Republic, it's not even really a hesitation, it's just the reality that there's a lot, and I am kind of embracing that. Like when things get announced, we talk about them, and then I often just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
And don't remember what's coming out when, except for kind of in a foggy way. And then as it gets closer, I'll go like, oh yeah, what's coming out when? So I can really set aside time. But there's a lot. So if you missed anything in a panel, it is totally understandable is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, good. It makes me feel good. So phase one of this era will close beginning in January 2022. It's been fun. It's been great. I don't want to sound like a complaint. I just love that phase one is three phases long. It's just, it keeps coming.
Yeah, because that'll be wave three of phase one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Wave three of phase one, which is part of wave one of the High Republic. Anyways, I'm making fun, but I'm excited about the announcements here. Here's some things we got, Joseph. The Fallen Star by Claudia Gray. And this is a Del Rey novel, which means it's an adult entry from Gray, who is definitely done those before, but perhaps more well-known for her YA stuff. We got the Eye of the Storm Marvel comic series by Charles Soule. We'll talk about that in a bit. Mission to Disaster, a middle grade reader by Justina Ireland. That's definitely not all she's working on here. And Midnight Horizon, a YA novel by Daniel Jose Older, who, of course, as we know, is still handling a bulk of the IDW stuff. So we'll start with those entries there. We got some more. But what do you think so far, Justin?
I'm thrilled by the confirmation that Claudia Gray is doing the next quote-unquote adult novel. I'm not super surprised by that, but the way that this whole thing has been shaping out now that we're into wave three, knowing that those adult novels, those Del Rey novels, are like the nexus of the storytelling for a little while. I'm really, really excited to see Claudia Gray's writing this next big kind of nexus event. And now that we know it's been structured that way, too, with the Great Disaster and then the Republic Fair, which was the second great disaster. Yeah. It makes me so excited and frightened for the third great disaster that Claudia Gray gets to write, because I think she's phenomenal, both from the YA stuff and from Bloodline and Master and Apprentice are two of my very favorites of the adult novels. So I'm really thrilled to read this one.
Yes, same. And, you know, not trying to get down in the weeds and predict what's coming, but a lot of these entries and even the titles of some of the authors are making jokes about the ominous nature it's not ominous at all nature of these titles. We know this kind of stuff's coming, and you know, Rising Storm doesn't exactly end with daffodils and daisies in a meadow type of ending.
If they were, they'd be dying. Yeah. They'd be dying. They'd be Drenger, in fact.
Yeah, go. Oh, yeah,
daffodils a Drenger.
Death and daffodils biting my toe. This title, The Fallen Star, it just evokes a lot of ideas in my head, a lot of, which Jedi's gonna fall type of thing. And I'm not even saying that's 100% my prediction, just it paints that picture. And it got me thinking, Joseph, of the idea of if Jedi are going to start falling, literally, like go join, and I think Kevin Scott mentions, we'll talk about that, about it, maybe a Jedi joining the storm, so to speak, maybe a Jedi joining the now. If Claudia Gray is dealing with any of that, and if the star is a specific person, Jedi himself, or just ideals, I don't know. I'm really glad she's handling that. She can get inside the heads of Jedi.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to see that. That's such a great thing for them to explore, because one of the things that we kind of know from the Jedi in the fall of Republic era is this kind of belief that, you know, once you start putting your foot down the dark side, that's kind of it. You know, there's some stuff with Quinlan Voss who manages to come back again. There's that great bit we got with Rising Storm with Elzar Mann going, oop, oop, I touched it. Yeah. I got a lot of work to do. So to see kind of the different Jedi philosophy about, you know, what happens if you fall, can you come back? What are the hows and the whys of coming back would be great. I kind of think the Falling Star might have something to do with Starlight Beacon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And yeah, that could be the actual thing as well.
The Starlight Beacon is going to turn to the dark side.
I hope so. Right. I hope so. No. Yeah. And you talk about, You made the joke about Great Disaster, and the next Great Disaster, there's got to be one more. And, you know, I just remember that quote. I think it was Pablo Hidalgo talking about the design of the Starlight Beacon going, it's great, it's gorgeous, unless you're on the wrong side of it. You might have a different view of it. So I'm waiting for that beacon to have some, just be some ramifications for it existing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's really great. And maybe the greatest prediction that you just made there, Ken, is that this thing that was meant to be a beacon of hope with this, you know, look up and see the light, Outer Rim. And that means the Republic is here for you. The Jedi are here for you. And because they're just at war with the Nile and the Drenger, it has to become a battle station. And that's what a great way to make it the Fallen Star.
Oh, yeah. The SS Starlight Beacon. So that's coming on out there. Kevin Scott, this is another one announced. We'll have an IDW miniseries called The Monster at Temple Peak, which follows Ty Yorick before the events of Rising Storm. We got a prequel already coming, Joseph.
That's great. I like prequels.
Yeah, we both enjoyed the character of Ty Yorick a lot in the Rising Storm. So getting a little bit more with her. And getting, I reason I might like this idea here, Joseph, of just kind of going back a little bit with that character is there's a lot going on, and we already, I think, get her at a point where maybe she's starting to move back, not necessarily back towards the Jedi, but maybe seeing some changes in her life, or, you know, reflecting on what's going on. So to go back I don't want to say the hardened part of her life where she's like, I'm not no Jedi. I don't do that. I'm a monster hunter, and seeing her in that element and seeing her be successful as who she is, but also knowing that maybe a sea change is on the way. I like that kind of character study idea.
Yeah, I love that kind of thing. Tayorik is a fascinating character. And I think it's one of the things to just embrace about the High Republic, that because it's this big ongoing thing, sometimes you're picking up a book and it's resolving a character's arc. And sometimes it's introducing a character and you're not really getting all the way down into the roots, right? And I felt that way about Tayorik, that in Rising Storm, we knew just enough so that she was intriguing, and so that she added to the narrative and to the themes of that book. And we knew that she had this past, and there's this, you know, deeper sadness there about how she can kind of never go back to the Jedi way. But I felt like, in a good way, not a criticism, that her role in Rising Storm was partially to tease us, wanting to know what's going to be in here. So a very successful mission. I'm teased.
Yeah.
And I want to know that backstory.
I do as well. Going back to the Eye of the Storm, Charles Soule has written this two-issue, 30 pages a piece series here. So that's 60 pages of comic story. That's a lot. Focusing on Markion Rowe, the Nile leader. So how do we feel about focusing on the big bad? I think we, again, probably both like that character study, but what do we want to learn about him at this point in the story?
Yeah, I think I'm really excited to just get even deeper on the why of his personal mission. Of the Nile in general have this philosophy, and it seems like he himself might share some of that philosophy, but he also seems to treat the Nile as just this band of fools with malleable rules and easily manipulated perspectives so that he can get what he wants. I like some of the hints that got laid out in this last wave that the Nile, and I think Markion Rowe, kind of rose up from a culture that disliked the Jedi, that disliked the use of the Force. So, like, I want to learn how ingrained is that in him, how much of that is a philosophy for him. And then we really learned right at the end there of Rising Storm that he's got all of these great, just very human, very relatable. His father was cruel and dominating, and you know, he was raised being told he was less than, right?
Yeah.
And that, when that came out, that was like, okay, now he's locked in. Now he's a perfect Star Wars villain. He looks super cool.
Yeah.
He's scary. You got all that kind of great surface level tradition of Star Wars villains. But then there's also something just like human and broken and relatable and pitiable about him. And I'm really hoping that this comic dives into that.
Yeah, I don't say this as a cheap joke, but finding out who or what hurt him is something I'm interested in, because the Rising Storm did a great job for me to peel back some of the layers and also at times show not just fear or vulnerability, but like he's in control. But there were some points in time where I'm like, man, are they going to toss him out the dry lock, you know, at the space lock there, or you know, he's struggling to keep control. Struggling to stay one step ahead of his own, you know, men, or you know, the people beneath him, the Tempest Runners and whatnot, Lorna D. All this thing. I was intrigued by the cracks that I was starting to see form and how those, you know, can form if you go back to his past. Like you said, how much of this is him? How much of this was upbringing? How much of him is just passing and carry on generational hate for the Jedi? So yeah, there's a lot there clearly with a good villain.
Yeah, and I think the fact that Charles Soule is doing this makes me feel more like I am really intrigued if there are eventually going to be some connections built to the Knights of Ren, since, you know, in that Rise of Kylo Ren comic that Charles Soule did is the most information we got about Knights of the Ren and their philosophy and history. I'm still curious to see if there's going to be some connections built there.
Yeah, I kind of want that. Yeah, I kind of want that. There's a little apprehension on my part. I don't have that fear of everything being too connected, small galaxy, whatnot. But just, I don't know. There could be. Is it too much? Is it too small? I don't know. All that to say, toss aside. I'm just intrigued by that idea a lot.
Yeah, and I could absolutely be full of hooey on this, but there's something to me about the Nile being such a big threat that really, really took a lot of pain to the galaxy and to the Jedi, that this idea that some tiny little shard of them would survive kind of forgotten and be the Knights of Ren, that feels almost like realistic to me, right? That something that was that big and that awful would kind of continue to fester in this small way.
Yeah, you're touching on, I think, why I like it, why I think it could work. It's a realistic carrying on, and I would trust, I would absolutely trust all the writers of the series, but specifically Charles Soule to kind of carry that on and find a way to make that work where it's not just a simple, yeah, they're connected, yay, and why didn't we hear anything about the Nile and Rise of Skywalker? You know, like that kind of stuff. I think it could really work, and I definitely, it's in good hands, and that's, he's bought that trust. Soul's got that trust for a lot of readers.
Absolutely.
Kevin Scott teased a Jedi will join the Nile. He said more about Jedi will join the storm, and could be a tornado chasing team for all we know, but going back to, I know I talked about Claudia Gray, and who knows, maybe that'd be something she would touch upon, but what do you think about this idea specifically, and who might it be?
Yeah, I feel like it. My mind went to, and I could be utterly wrong, less falling to the dark side and more of a being undercover, or more like a light side Jedi being like, yes, they're violent. Yes, they're awful, but we do have to understand them in order to stand against them, or maybe, you know, to see if there's any hope of having a peaceful resolution. So I was thinking about it from that perspective. Could be totally wrong. It's what's also interesting is if that's happening in the main High Republic comic that Kevin Scott's been writing, you know, there's been a little bit of that journey with the great Trandoshan Jedi Secure kind of merging with the Drenger and trying to understand them. So is it that Secure is like, well, okay, well, I already know what it's like to be a Drenger. I'm joining the Nile too.
Yeah.
Any other evil people I can join? My only other guess outside of that is, a couple of prominent characters that we were introduced to in Claudia Gray's young adult novel Into the Dark that I think a lot of people really connected with, Comac Vitus and Orla Jirani, are both people who seem to be like wrestling with the Jedi in different ways. So that would be interesting if it was one of them who's like, I already have my problems with the Jedi. I want to go on this, you know, very different, maybe even not sanctioned mission to understand the Nile.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential suspects, right?
There really are.
Yeah, there really is. My mind did go to Scare as well. I'm not super, super caught up on the comics. I have them in my hands now. That's a good step. But just there's already been some stuff with them. I don't think a good bet to me, if it's a complete join the Nile, and you're right, not necessarily fall to the dark side, but for me, not necessarily going undercover, but actually like, guess what? I'm with the Nile now. I look at Elzar Mann and I like, he's touched it, but I think he's pulled back enough and I just don't see someone like him doing it. So it could be a complete wild card, or like you said, it could be, Serpico here. We got Jedi Serpico going undercover here. And that both are interesting to me.
And Serpico is a great name for a Trandoshan Jedi. So I hope it's a new Jedi named Serpico.
It is. This one sounds like Al Pacino. We also got Justina Ireland and Shinya are there to put together a manga called The Edge of Balance. Will be out in September. Focus on Jedi Lily Tora-Asi during the Great Disaster. So again, going back again, the art in this looked beautiful. The designs, everything about it. I really love what the look of this is. It was one of the things where I was like, okay, all right, the announcements are still going. There's still things I got to get. But this one just has just great. And I love that title, Edge of Balance.
Yeah, great. And I have picked up, but I have not read a couple of the manga adaptations. The first book of the Leia Princess of Alderaan and a manga adaptation of the Legends of Luke Skywalker. And it makes sense for Star Wars to have some stories told in that form. And I'm excited just for that.
Yeah, I have the Leia Princess of Alderaan, the book one. Yeah, it looks beautiful. I love the designs. All right, and that's kind of it, so we're not done necessarily discussing it here, but that's the end of Wave 3 of Phase 1, and just thoughts on Phase 1 thus far, Joseph, and what's coming, and is this all working?
Yeah, I think, I think the big, big, big positive thing for me is it fulfilled what excited me about the High Republic, and it sounds like from what I'm seeing online and podcasts that a lot of people are really excited by this sort of promise of Jedi stories. Jedi with a ton of individuality, so you can really get to know them as characters. They have unity, but they're all individuals. They are not moving and thinking in lockstep at all. So we have so many Jedi. Every story we pick up, we get like the fun and the fantasy and the thrill of Jedi powers and lightsabers that turn into light whips and all of the like fun and fantasy. But because they're all individuals too, we get this very relatable wrestling with power and identity and how do I feel about the Force and how should I use it and what if I fail? And it just, it gives you all of the fantasy of the Jedi while making them totally relatable and real. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really just a big general character study of the Force wrapped up in some of the best wrapped up in some of the best action I've ever read since the new era of Star Wars publishing and came out in 2014.
Yeah. Yeah. And cool. You know, I think the only maybe challenge of the High Republic is it's a lot, and it's a lot to keep up with, and it's a lot to keep track of all the names and all that. So, I mean, I think if anybody is dipping their toe in and wants to read it and enjoy it, I really think it is also something where you can pick and choose what you read, and then, you know, you can read a Wikipedia summary if you don't want to read this book. You know, right now we're on the train of trying to keep up with it all because it's really, really fun. To be immersed in it. But I also think that any Star Wars fan listening who just wants to dip their toe in should absolutely give themselves the permission. Just read the ones that excite you and then read a summary of the ones that you don't have time. And that's fine too.
Yeah. I think this era, it's just been a success. Not only just because some of the New York Times bestseller positions and sales and all those kind of things, but it's been outside of just the general, the normal sections of Star Wars discourse that are going to try to tear anything down. I think the reviews and the reception has been so positive, and that's hard these days. You know, it's just so hard. Even something that we love, just not everyone's going to love. It's just the way it's going to be. And I think the general reception of this has been great, and I think it's still going to grow. And even this past week in Seattle, chatting with some folks up there, I a few people like, hey, I'm thinking of starting that series. You know, where should I start? It's like Light of the Jedi, get into it. And that just shows me that it's still going to grow. The word of mouth for the High Republic era is still tremendously valuable. It's valuable for anything creative, but I think that will really help the series as it continues to grow. And even our friend, the great Brian Ward, I saw you tweeted out. He's kind of starting the Light of the Jedi finally getting a moment to do it. And he's in that wait, which Jedi is that phase, which is a very realistic phase. But also, even in saying that, Joseph, you're right. There's a lot of names, a lot of plot, a lot of books, and it can get overwhelming. I think we as Star Wars fans give ourselves the room to take a deep breath and not worry about getting to everything and just celebrate the overall era and pick up when you can.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. So we'll keep you updated on any new announcements, but that was a lot. So that is our only look at Star Wars news. Other little things are always out there, but we just wanted to focus on the big stuff. Before we take a break and get to your questions, though, we do want to recommend an audiobook for you. Joseph, what do we have?
Yeah, this is one of those High Republic books. We are recommending Into the Dark by Claudia Gray. I think both Ken and I really, really enjoyed this one. And I think it's really important because people, you know, Light of the Jedi is the kickoff novel. Into the Dark, I think, is really great because if you're interested in evil plants, mm-hmm. It's the real kickoff of the Drenger, and I think has a lot to recommend it. So Into the Dark by Claudia Gray.
Into the Dark indeed. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook and get to know Geo. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, your questions and a power of the light side here on ForceCenter.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to 4 Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet, the geode of our flight crew. I just love the geode so much. I will die on the geode hill.
I will die on the geode rock. Yes, absolutely.
Rocky hill indeed. We got some questions, but first, Joseph, we got a power to light side.
That's right. This is something that we were doing for a little while regularly, and it was amazing that some listeners on Patreon just brought it back. This is something where we just wanted to highlight some positivity in the Star Wars community. We invited people to share something that they really enjoyed in Star Wars, something that they loved, even if it's a small thing, a big thing, whatever. I will try to remember to put out a general call on our Patreon, if you're a patron, for these as well. But we had a great one last week, and we have another one here this week from Anthony King. Here we go, Ken.
Yes.
Anthony says, a while ago, it may have been a few years now, you did a show discussing the many ways that you have played with Star Wars over the years. I was fascinated with the episode and enjoyed hearing your adventures on the playground and at home with your action figures. At the end, I recall that you were curious as to how children of the prequel age played with Star Wars. As someone who grew up during this time, I was 10 when Revenge of the Sith released in theaters. I wanted to share my fun story of how my friends and I brought the joy out of ourselves during this expansive time for the galaxy. Sure, children this time had video games, action figures, toy lightsabers, Lego sets, and all of the movies fairly available through at-home mediums. However, in my situation, unfortunately, I could only window shop for them at the local Kmart, as my mom could not afford them on her teacher's salary. As a result, my friends, AJ and John, who are in similar financial situations, and I had to look into more imaginative ways to play Star Wars. During this time, one of the great ideas that we came up with was Star Wars Tag. The game was simple. Each person took on the persona of a Jedi figure if they were not it. While the person who was chosen to be it had to be a member of the Sith, either Maul, Dooku, or Sidious. The game then consisted of us running around the playground trying to avoid being stabbed, aka tagged, by the Sith. Since Star Wars Tag took place over recess, we were not allowed to have fake lightsabers on school property. Bummer. Therefore, we had to imagine we had lightsabers with our hands, as people often do, making the noises and sound effects with our mouths. You could engage in a make-pretend lightsaber fight with the Sith member, but you had to make sure that you were not stabbed. Otherwise, you would turn to the dark side yourself and then join in the Sith's quest to hunt down the remaining Jedi. We were very loose with canon. The overall objective was to survive as a Jedi through the end of recess, or, if you were a part of the Sith, to convert all of the players to the dark side. Star Wars Tag was an absolute blast with so many Jedi of the prequel era. My friends and I were able to play as so many different Star Wars characters. Personally, I played as Anakin Skywalker, my favorite character, as often as I could. A lot of the girls in our class even participated as well, since they wanted to portray the many female Jedi that were around during the prequels. At its height, our games would have had something like 50 players involved, leading to huge battles across the galaxy, aka the playground. I vividly remember the last day of fifth grade, which was our final recess class ever. They took away recess for sixth graders. The teachers were very nice and allowed us to stay outside for essentially the entire day. We played for hours and just had an absolute blast. George Lucas's expansive imagination through the prequels helped to foster our spirits, leading to the creation of this game. I will always carry these fond memories with me and think of these adventures often when I rewatch episodes 1 through 3. Thanks again, Force Center, for allowing me to share my story. May the Force be with you. What a great story. Ken, what are your thoughts on Star Wars Tag and being stabbed by the Sith?
I'm just applauding you, Anthony. I'm just applauding. This is one of my favorite stories ever. This is everything we celebrate here at Force Center about loving Star Wars and respecting and understanding all entry points into Star Wars and all generations being present, all future generations being present, and just the power of imagination. The story I've told over and over and over and over again of hanging off of a palm tree as a speeder bike or sometimes the skiff is born out of that same kind of, you know, you lack the toys, it doesn't matter. You got a tree branch. You got something, and that's all you need. And first of all, I would play this now. That's not just a joke. I love doing stuff like that. Like, getting some water guns and having a water gun fight at 45. I don't care. I'd do it. I'd play Star Wars Tag. And I think you could throw in those little Nerf lightsabers you can get somewhere. You know, out to a park, go to Griffith Park, and we'll make this competitive. Anthony, let's set up a league. There's so many things I love about this, Joseph. It's such a celebration of just the overall picture of Star Wars.
Still got to watch your eye with those Nerf lightsabers, though. You can't get Nerf in the eye.
We'll get some goggles.
Strap on my Jedi aqua breather and my Jedi goggles. I'll be ready to go. Yeah, this is just so amazing. I am almost without words, which is shocking because I say a lot of words on this podcast. It is just exactly this is the kind of thing that if like I sat down almost to like fantasize about like what kind of Star Wars stories are out there that I'm just not hearing. And this is so great to hear that this great just celebration of Star Wars in general, but also the prequel era. And it really does warm my heart, because growing up in the original trilogy era, I definitely had a few friends who continue to like the prequels. And even though I had my qualms, I just kind of remained in Star Wars love. Yeah. And I was surrounded by a lot of people who felt deeply out of love. And so to just imagine that while I was going through that, Anthony and his 49 friends were running around and people were competing over who gets to be Dooku today, just makes me so happy. And honestly, like if I had been aware of this
during the prequel era, I probably would have tried to convince my friends who at that point were mostly, you know, people I was performing comedy with and other nerds going like, I know you don't like the prequels, but I've discovered this great game called Star Wars Tag, you know, pick a Jedi. I know you thought Plo Koon looked cool. Come on, I'm going to chase you. You know, yeah. I would have absolutely done it, and I'll sign up for the league now.
Absolutely. Let's do it now, because I played the super versions of Capture the Flag at a camp on the side of a hill, like 50 on 50 a side, where you're running around like an idiot in a forest playing Capture the Flag with, you know, 99 other friends, and it's the best time of my life, right? You know, like I might have peaked in the summer of 89. and this is that kind of feeling too. But also, you know, again, the prequels and what they brought, you and I, you know, it's why we talk about them, why we celebrate them, and why, you know, it's a hill. We'll die on of just like, think about what this brought to the fans. And even Anthony mentions it, that girls wanted to play because they finally saw themselves on screen. Maybe even not as much as we'd want now. And that's still growing. But think of that. Think of just the choices you had. Think of I'm listening to this story. I'm listening to you read this story, Joseph. And that reminds me of the Battle of Petronaki Arena. Like, this is what we thought we were getting from that trailer. Like, 50 Jedi fighting, trying not to get stabbed by Dooku. Like, greatest thing ever. And also, Anthony, I had recess through sixth grade, but I was very bummed that seventh grade I had to grow up and give up recess.
Yeah, no, that was a shock to the system. But that was just so great. Thank you for sharing that. It's just a well-told story and a great thing to picture. Thank you so much, Anthony. Yeah. And with that, Ken, you ready to go into our questions?
I am.
Excellent. Well, first, our questions this week begin with a correction. Last week, we had a great question about the idea of reincarnation in Star Wars, and I had a cut-and-paste error, and I misattributed the question. That great question was from Will Culbertson, so thank you for the question, Will, and our apologies for my bad cutting and pasting. But with that, Ken, you ready to get some questions from Twitter?
I would love to.
All right, here are some questions that I have double-checked who they came from. This is from Gareth Vader. Gareth says, hello there. Regarding the Bad Batch, I think there is a fifth clone we haven't met yet who has the same properties as the Bad Batch. We previously heard that there are five altered clones remaining. At the time, we wrongly assumed Omega was the fifth. Echo is a reg. Thoughts? What are your thoughts there, Ken? Because I think what Gareth is really getting at here is we did have that line about, you know, there are five of these altered clones. But then we got that information about Omega that, much like Boba, she is an unaltered clone. And that is why she is desired, because she has much more of the just the DNA of Jango. So I think that's where this interesting question is coming from.
Yeah, very interesting, because as I'm reading this question from Gareth, and you're reading it here on the show, I had this reaction. No, because they said, oh, wait, yeah, oh, wait, uh-oh, yeah, you're right. I love that stuff. Is it a clue of something to come? Is it a clue to a big revelation? Or I got to say, I hope so. I don't have any, I don't have any thoughts or opinions on it, Joseph, other than like, Gareth, great point. I hadn't stopped, you know, we were analyzing the themes and having fun and canon connections. That's just a fun little what if.
Yeah, well, Ken, how would you feel if the way Gareth is interpreting it all is spot on, and there is a missing Bad Batch member who is, you know, I'm using the word defective because that's what they use in the show, who has a change from the way the other clones are that is beneficial, as they describe it, and has some cool ability. Who's the fifth Bad Batch? Who's the Pete Best of the Bad Batch?
Well, I mean, it's Gonky, right? I mean, that's already been confirmed.
That is DNA that ended up very different from Jango. Very, very different.
Yes, I do want the Pete Best or the Stuart Sutcliffe of the Bad Batch. Great. I'm totally fine with this. And you know, get another, you know, another name, Bonkers. That's the name, Bonkers, because it's kind of a fun Bonkers theory to me. I had just taken on face value, and I mean, I'm trying to remember what you and I even talked about at the time. And yeah, at the time, we didn't know the whole story of Omega, which is part of this fun. And you know, do you get into the weeds on, well, they probably, maybe they did, you know, maybe they meant to make, I don't know. I think that you got pretty specific dialogue choices in these shows, right? Same. Just ask Masamita, alive or dead. But they used some specific wording around attempted assassination. So I'm excited. Joba Fett. Right.
Yeah, I think there was, for me, some ambiguity of the way that they said it in the earlier episode of, like, we need one of those clones back. And then it seemed to specify into, no, we need Omega back.
Yes.
So I do think there's right now there's totally room for ambiguity and interpretation. I would love it if there was a fifth clone, you know, with just amazing thigh muscles called Legs, who runs fast. but I kind of think that maybe these two lines, these two ideas are a little bit meant to be in conflict right now because there's something more going on. I tend to think that there's just more to Omega's story and that she is not altered from Django's DNA in the way that most standard clones are, right? That they have, they're altered to inhibit aggression and have the faster aging, and that she doesn't have those things just like Boba didn't. But then I think that there's also some lines about her being kind of the future, right? Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it's that she is altered. Like the Bad Batch, my understanding is Bad Batch was like they just came out of the batch weird, you know,
right,
and different, and with these skills and this, this different individuality. And I think more with Omega, it's like, well, we didn't inhibit her aggression. Mm-hmm. She's not aging faster, but we did alter her in some way to have even more skills and be an even better soldier.
Yeah, I'm on that train of thought as well. I think there's something. There's clearly something more, right? I mean, it all ties back to Grogu, clearly, and that's what's fun. And you and I, again, I know where we focus on these shows, and I know where we get really just ignited to have these conversations about themes and purpose and all those kind of things. But you and I love this kind of stuff as well. We love getting the next chapter in the stories revealed, and so Omega's got a lot of chapters left for all of us to learn.
Yeah, great question, Gareth. It is a really, really fun one to think about, and I can't wait to find out all the answers. With that, we're going to move on to a question from Anthony on Twitter. Anthony says, "Hey, Force Center, are you all ready for a celebration? I know I am. Anaheim will be my first time attending. In anticipation, I was curious, do you rewatch past celebration panels? I often find myself rewatching the Last Jedi panel from 2017. Two great questions in one. Ken, are we all ready for celebration?
Well, we've got hotels.
We're so ready to attend. We just need tickets, right?
Yeah, we currently, Force Center has no official capacity there yet. I was even talking about it to our friend this weekend about trying to figure out what to do. But we're going to be there. I mean, and even we didn't have hotels. My grandmother lives around the corner from Disneyland, so Joseph and I would have been sleeping in a tent in my grandma's tomato garden outside. It would have worked. But no, we're excited to be there. Anthony, I'm excited for you. To experience celebration. It's truly special, right, Joseph? It's special.
It really, really is. I think it lives up to its name. It is a bunch of fans who are truly there to celebrate Star Wars in lots of different parts of Star Wars. And, you know, in Chicago, had a lot of great conversations with fans who, you know, were wondering about this upcoming thing, weren't sure about this thing, or, you know, wanted to share that they preferred this part, but none of it had any spirit of negativity. It was just discussion. It was just like, do you like pineapple on your pizza? I don't. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's get separate pizzas and have a good time. You know, it was all in the feeling of celebration. I think that's the great thing about it.
Let's get separate pizzas, a lesson in celebrating Star Wars.
Yeah.
As far as Anthony's question, I often cite, and therefore I do rewatch that 2005 George Lucas one because I think it's pretty insightful, but I don't go back and watch a lot of the panels. If I'm going to go on YouTube and look at old Star Wars things, it's just the trailers. I just watch them over and over and over again. But I have talked about it before. I do watch the Carrie Fisher tribute, which came out of the 2007 Orlando panel. I do watch that, and I get emotional and cry every time, and you don't get to see it. The panel, which Billy Lord spoke there. And again, you could probably find it online, but I watch just that video. And sometimes I'll watch the clip of John Williams and the local based Orlando orchestra doing Leia's theme at that. Mm.
That's amazing. Yeah. I don't often rewatch them just because of the time management, but I have rewatched clips. In particular, StarWars.com put out a great best of a little while back, including that Lucas one you were talking about, where Lucas says some like really great and some really challenging things that stick with me of that idea of like, yeah, no, I made Star Wars to inspire people to go out and have their adventures, you know, which I think I take as, well, talking about Star Wars is one of my adventures, but then also I want to make sure that, you know, I'm, you know, not just staring into the twin sunsets, but trying to go toward the twin sunset. Yeah. So that one really means a lot to me. Another one that I watched online that I really love and been wanting to revisit is, I'm trying to remember what year it is. I think it was 2017. It was 2019. It was an interview with Ian McDiarmid. Right. And it's just great. A lot of details about the filming of the opera box scene in Revenge of the Sith, and lots of fun, cheeky things about his upcoming role. That was great. And then Anthony didn't really ask this, but one other thing that I wanted to share is that Phantom Menace 20th anniversary panel was so great last time, being that that celebration is 2022. I'm so looking forward to the Attack of the Clones anniversary panel. So looking forward to celebrating that film, because I think it's one of the ones that it gets the most critical eye. And I just love Attack of the Clones. Any sort of problems and all, I just love it.
That'll be great. And I think I don't think Natalie Portman came out for the 2017 Revenge. They did some Revenge of the Sith stuff there, right? If I remember correctly.
2015?
Was it 2015 or 2017 Orlando? I think it was Orlando because Hayden was there, if I recall. And just some behind-the-scenes stuff I heard is that that she was open to being there. I think she might have been pregnant even, and why she couldn't travel. There was a reason why, and it wasn't scandalous, you know? It wasn't gossipy. It was just like, Hayden's there? Love to. Let's do this. I think it always is nice for me to hear that Natalie is open to Star Wars, even if she goes on Saturday Night Live and makes a joke about the prequels and defending them. I love knowing that she could still have a love and an affection for what she did and what the character did. So I would love, Joseph, if we got Natalie and Hayden and Ewan and the gang for Attack of the Clones. That would be really good.
That would be amazing. Yeah, because I think we really are in that era. Like Ewan McGregor has directly said this of like, yeah, no, it was hard at the time for lots of reasons, including some of the mixed response. But, you know, to hear people come up to him now and say, but that was my Star Wars and I played Obi-Wan. I was you in Star Wars tag, you know. And I'm sure Natalie Portman hears that too of like, but you inspired me so much, you know, and that's gotta, I imagine, affect how they feel about these kind of events.
Yeah. And another thing to watch, I'm getting excited for Star Wars Celebration 2022. Anthony, if you don't, I'm sure you do. If you go back and watch some of these panels, I love going watching a lot of, whether it's official from Star Wars, because they'll do it on their YouTube channel, but even some of our pals, whether it's Alex Amali, Star Wars Explained, Alex Steven, Cisco and the gang over Black Series Rebels, they did a great vlog in Chicago, put a lot of effort into it too. I love watching that kind of stuff. And seeing small pockets, because, you know, for us, you know, podcasters are just anyone attending the celebration, you're not going to see everything. You're not going to experience everything. And I love going back, and I'll even go back to 2015, 2017 and do this. And you'll see someone dressed up and you'll be like, oh, I saw that person. Oh, look at them. They're over there having their own adventure, their own celebration. Look at that person. Look at this podcast group. They're over here celebrating Star Wars in their own way. I'll do that every now.
That's a great one to do. Great question, Anthony. And we are clearly very excited for a celebration. We can't wait to see you there. And if we don't get tickets, I will be standing outside seeing if I can get people to buy me action figures.
Yeah. Look, if
here's 20 just to come out with a Dooku.
On the off chance Force Center is not there officially, there's a Bubba Gump trip around the corner. I will be there every night in the bar. There's that Lego store at Downtown Disney. I will be there. You will be there. And Joseph and I and Jennifer hopefully will be there.
A shrimp celebration, indeed. Looking forward to it. We're going to move on to our questions from our patrons on Patreon. The first one comes from Michael McCarcel. Michael says, you guys talk often about loving the campfire chat. So here's a simple one. If you could pick three Star Wars characters to sit down and have a campfire chat, who would you pick? What do you think they'd discuss? Mine would be Padme, Finn, and Obi-Wan. That's great. That could change tomorrow, though, says Michael. But they were the first characters that came to mind, so I'm going with my instincts. Thanks, and may the Force be with you. Yeah, this is great. The campfire chat, I think, is something we kind of started talking about when I was really interested in the idea of Luke and Ahsoka meeting, and can you use the phrase campfire chat? And then the actual campfire chat between Din and Ahsoka came up, and then it became like a reality, right? If we could see lots of campfire chats. So that's a little bit of where we're coming from with our obsession with that. What's your answer here to these questions? Who would you have talk and what would they chat about?
Look, this is Michael's right. This answer would change tomorrow for me, right? It's just, you totally just, because today I'm kind of in the mood of what if you had to sit Mon Mothma and Saw Gerrera down a campfire? Because, yeah, I don't know, maybe a ship crashed or, maybe the number twos for each of them was like, let's trick them into meeting and maybe we can hash this out.
Who's the third in that party, though?
The third in that party? I think Bail Organa, because,
yeah,
right? Because there'd be a little bit of a Peacekeeper vibe. I think it could work in that way. Clearly, he's more aligned with Mon Mothma, but I think he's not opposed to doing things, maybe not as extreme as Saw, but, you know, those rebel dinner parties he had. Anyways, that's where my heart is today. Those three characters, but specifically Mothma and Guerrero, face-to-face, having to talk about the rebellion without any rancor between them, without any tension, without any just like, you are stuck here. You're stuck here.
I think you actually used the word rancor as meaning like emotional discomfort and disagreement, right? Okay.
Yes, but a rancor, yes. I absolutely, you know what I mean? Like, they could, I don't know if they solve anything, but just to hear them out at this point, late in the rebellion.
Yeah. I know. I think that's that kind of that spirit of that campfire chat of that, like, you're a little bit disarmed and it starts as a casual conversation. And then suddenly it becomes about the ideology and maybe in a kind of like a safer way to discuss it.
Yes.
Yeah. I think for me, I would go with, I have two options. One is starting much like Michael with Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is, I think, my favorite character in a lot of ways, but also he holds all this complexity and all these perspectives for other people. I would love the spirit of Obi-Wan, Leia, and young Ben. I don't know if this is something that ever has happened in canon or will happen. I mean, I know it hasn't happened in modern canon, but if it ever will or could. But I think there's been some stuff where Leia's kind of talked about, like maybe hearing some voices, but just a full, like, the great intelligence, humor, snark battle that you could have between Obi-Wan and Leia. Who's really letting their guard down and telling the real truth, who is being prim and proper and who is taking the mask off and being real honest between them. And then just the idea of, you know, young Ben, like, what does he think of this hero that he was named after?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. And my other one, I think, has an actual possibility of happening, not a high likelihood. But I just want, what does it truly mean to be, a Mandalorian and a clone round table, where you got Boba Fett, Din, and Rex.
I'll be good with that.
Yeah. Three warriors with some very different perspectives, and some of them similar faces.
Yeah. This would be a great Disney Plus animated show of just animating these characters, getting the voice actors, and just having this kind of like Marvel What Ifs, you know, just go to this, you know, campfire chats and just have a, you know, imagined conversation between all these people.
Yeah. I love this idea that there's a planet that is full of campfires that, you know, has some property that makes ships crash. So it's just constantly like, don't go near that planet. You're going to end up having an intimate campfire chat.
But it's the Mortis version of campfire chats. Yeah.
Exactly. And on to our final question of the episode from Joshua Thorne. Joshua says, who is the most obscure Star Wars character you hope to see again in canon? Mine is Jot the Jawa. Yeah, I know, pretty obscure. And then Joshua includes a laughing with tears in the eyes emoji. For anybody who is not caught up in Jot the Jawa, that is the character from Griffin McElroy's short story, Stories in the Sand, in the From a Certain Point of View New Hope book. And Jot's got a lot of great little thoughts about being a storyteller amongst the Jawas. Ken, are you a big Jot the Jawa fan?
I am now. I do remember Jot a little bit there. But yeah, that's a great title.
Yeah.
Stories with Jot the Jawa.
Stories with Jot the Jawa. If you get sick of talking to the person you're with the campfire at.
Yeah,
listen to Jot. What is your answer to your question then? What's the obscure character that you'd like to see back in canon?
Yeah, as always, I'm juggling a lot of plates, and sometimes I read a question and go and misinterpret it. And I was like, oh, what person do I want to see in canon that hasn't been? So I had a whole dissertation planned about Ram Coda from Force Unleashed, the blind Jedi that kind of some parts Kanan match up with. But then I reread it, luckily. I remember an early Jedi Alliance episode. I was doing an in memoriam, and I did this. This was like 2014. So modern publishing, the new era had just begun. We hadn't got Force Awakens and a lot of new visual encyclopedias and character lists. And I just was blown away. I didn't read a lot of EU legend stuff. I've always said that. I didn't really realize that there had been a whole bunch of storytelling around Darth Vader's wingmen. And by a lot of storytelling, I mean, they had names and everything. So it's Backstabber and Mauler are the two guys. And they're in canon a little bit. I brought them up just to, confirm and they exist, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not like... not to the level Legends was. So I don't know. In this era of, let's uncover little things and people can show up, or, an author will grab something from a planet from the EU that they always love, right? Raxus. Oh, yeah, that's from Force Unleashed. Raxus Prime's over there. Backstabber and Mauler, the Darth Vader's wingmen, and how they were trusted, how they got to that position, or were they just wrong place, wrong time for them, or whatever it was. I wouldn't mind something a little official about them.
Yeah, that's great. I want to dig a little bit more deeper on those wingmen. Yeah, so I think for me, my honest answer feels weird because they are definitely obscure in general Star Wars, but not obscure to anybody who listens to Force Center because we talk about them often because I like them. But in all honesty, I am really intrigued by the Jedi Terrace Nube, who appears in Lightsaber Lost episode of Clone Wars and some other places, but just a Jedi I'm really curious about. Love to see more of him. And the character in Solo that I initially called Vat Weirdo, learned his real name is Lilo Primock, the upside down singing frog in a vat. I'm so intrigued by the entertainers in the Star Wars galaxy. And I love the little bit of information about him in the visual dictionary for Solo, that he is a long time entertainer, and he even starred in some Hollows wearing a person suit.
Yeah.
I want to see that. My other most obscure character that I've just been a little bit obsessed with is in that episode of Bad Batch. During a traffic chase, they jump on the back of this truck and there's this Aqualish just rocking out to some tunes. I just think of it as Rockin' Aqualish. I'd like to see Rockin' Aqualish again.
That's a great one.
Well, I'm going to be crossing all my fingers for Rockin' Aqualish. Any other thoughts on that one, Ken?
No, it is fun. And that's why another one of the many reasons we're here to celebrate Star Wars. A little corner of full of shadows and light can lead you to some characters and new storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Joshua. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Gareth. And thank you, Anthony King, for the great Power of the Light Side segment. Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us?
I absolutely would love to let you all know where you can find us. We are the Force Center Podcast, and we are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're also on Instagram and YouTube as well. You can like our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. Podcast is available on a lot of spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and Spotify. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/4center. You can support us directly at patreon.com/4center. A lot of new names popping in. We'd love to see that. And from there, you can link to our Discord, where every Monday I go in there and I put a character of the week up, or characters of the week. And Joseph, this week's characters are Lulilu Primock and Orodia Ventifoli.
Yeah. So,
a lot of people in there, Douglas, Mark Canope, Double J, talking about those two characters right there. It's a weekly discussion, among other things, we have on our Discord page. You can find me at Ken Napsok and my website, kennapsok.com. Updated shows, one locally, and some more coming soon. Hopefully you travel around to do some more stand-up. Joseph and I always like to highlight a charity or a website or a cause, something out there, to make sure we're all plugged into the real world. And sorry, Joseph, don't want to make this into much of a story, but also in Seattle, I got a ride share out to the airport. And as always, if I'm just by myself, I'll chat with the driver and see what's going on. And ended up having a really heartbreaking but in-depth conversation with this driver, Haile, who was he's from Tigray in Ethiopia. And there's a lot of stuff going on out right there right now. And you don't need to get too much into it. Look up all the details yourself. The information's out there. But a lot of people need help. And there's just a veritable genocide going on out there right now. And I was asking him, where can I help? And he just said, tell the world, man. Tell the world. He had family there he hasn't spoken to in 8 months. And he was listening to a podcast. That's how we got talking about it. He goes, do you mind if I have this on? And I'm trying to get this updated. So we did. We talked about it for about 40 minutes in this car ride. So I'm highlighting the International Rescue Committee. You can go to help.rescue.org and search for direct donations to help the people on the ground from the IRC out there, providing critical medical care, clean water, and other aid to Ethiopia and other areas of crisis. But this is specific for the Tigray region of Ethiopia. That's my highlight for this week, Joseph.
That is great, and just a great story. I'm really glad you took the time to share that.
It's I always, sometimes I ride in silence staring out a window, and other times you love finding out about who you're riding with, and there's so many stories out there in the world.
Yeah, you just never know what kind of ride it's going to be.
Yeah.
For myself, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out all my other comedy adventures on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. I want to continue to highlight this service called Vote Forward. Basically, you print out some letters and you write messages about why you vote in the hopes to encourage other people to vote. Nothing partisan. You just say that you're just trying to encourage people to use the power that they have to vote and have their voice be heard. If you're interested in that, you can check out all the details at their website, which is votefwd.org.
That is wonderful. That's where a lot of great action and great movement on important things begins, is with your vote. So check that out. We thank you all for listening. We love sitting down with all of you talking about the news and Star Wars tag. So for Backstabber and Mauler, and Chuck the Jawa, we'll see you next time. This was Foresight.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.